Hello, Lauren? Welcome to GT Radio. Lauren, are you there? Hello, hello. Lauren, can you hear me? Hello, welcome to GT Radio. Lauren, are you there?
I am. Hi, Tino.
Hey, it is the first time for everything. So I was late for my show, and it's a long story. Thank you for being on the show today. And this is a very special show because Lauren is a good friend, and we're launching International Women's Month with this show. And Lauren, welcome to the show. I know you've been waiting on me, but welcome. Welcome to the show. And
Thank you, Tito.
Quite a few listeners. I apologize.
I can't wait to hear the story as to why you're late.
Well, I was having a conversation with my son, and it was a pretty in-depth conversation, and I just, you know, we were like, I went to pick him up because Marcy has a cold. And so we were at the marina, and I was talking to him about some sensitive stuff. So I just lost myself. So it brings new words to the meaning. It brings new meaning to the proverb, first time for everything. But anyways, here we are, and here you are. And I'm happy that you were able to make it on the show. Lauren, you grew up in Vegas, right? Tell us a little bit about growing up in Vegas, because I know you're a native and your parents have been there for many years. Tell us a little bit about, you know, growing up and how it was, you know, back in the day.
Yes, like just like you said, I am a native Las Vegan. I'm fifth generation Las Vegan. So I had a sense of, or still have a sense of pride with Las Vegas. But when I was growing up, it was a little bit smaller of a Las Vegas. We lived in kind of an equestrian area. I lived on a dirt road, which you don't really see many of those unintentionally nowadays. But it had the meaning of, you know, that good old boy network, that everybody had your back, that everybody knew everyone, everyone was hyper-connected. And even though today Las Vegas is much larger and much more diverse, I still feel like there is that connection between the native Las Vegans and kind of the 6 degrees of separation, that everybody knows everyone somehow and that everybody has each other's back. And it's pretty cool. It's great to see that Vegas has evolved from a small entertainment capital now to a major entertainment capital, and how it's become more and more diverse with, you know, like Chinatown's budding, and then the reinvention of downtown Las Vegas and the arts program, and now trying to reach out when we were bidding for Amazon to come to us. It's really great to see us diversify a little bit outside of ourselves, and I can't wait to continue to watch us grow and prosper and reinvent ourselves as a city.
Yeah, and Vegas does a great job of reinventing itself. Tell us a little bit about the casinos back then. How were they, and what was the audience? What was the feel? What was the vibe? I mean, because I know it was completely different than today. Tell you paint us a little bit of a picture of that.
So the first thing I remember about a casino is my grandfather saying, "Lauren, there is a reason why these casinos were built, and these casinos were not built off of winners." And so that's the first thing that I had on my mind of why casinos were what they were. But they always represented glitz and glamour and fame and fortune to me, especially as a little girl, you know, going to the shows or going out to eat with my family. People would dress up for the occasion. It was just kind of fanciful. And it does remind me of the time of when Casino was filmed, with all the most glamorous women and men dressing up. And it was a place to see, be seen, socialize, to really kind of take in the moment of what the glitter of Vegas meant. And I think it still has that. It's become a lot more approachable, obviously, and a lot more mainstream. But there was something about the allure back then of wow, you're at a Vegas casino and people are coming here for just the over-the-top spectacle of the show of it all.
Yeah, of course. And now there's something for everybody. I keep telling people you can get a $1 hot dog or $1,000 meal. It runs the gamut, more depending on the wine that you drink. So,
absolutely.
That's always, and they have a major wine collection in Vegas, that's for sure. You know, for every occasion. We're kicking off this month, International Women's Month, with the Wonder Women of Wonder Women of Gaming, and tell us a little bit what that represents and what that means.
So I saw a pretty funny meme that was on one of my friends' Instagram pages today that said, wait a minute, I thought every day was International Women's Day, which I thought was pretty funny. But when you boil down to it,
yeah,
that it is really celebrating the women pioneers who fought for our gender. So we're trying to celebrate social, economic, cultural, political achievements, anything that women have had to kind of fight and claw and get their moments and help be represented in an equal way. I feel like today is that celebration of the culmination of it all and us still trying to be a little bit more equal. But being a part of that and being the kickoff of International Women's Month on your show, as well as being classified as a Wonder Woman of Gaming, that is humbling. And it's pretty cool. I really, really like that, especially because I'm so very young in my career, and I look up to a lot of the pioneer gaming women. But it's really cool to have everybody's, all these women coming around and having your back and really trying to nurture you and mentor you and show you the roots and the ways. So it's really to the pioneers who really got all of us in whichever vertical you're in to the place that you may be or the places we may go.
Let's talk a little bit about, you talked about the glamour and the glitz back then. Let's talk about, how women fit into the gaming business back then. What is your recollection of, where they were then and where we've evolved to now? Because obviously, there's been a huge evolution, especially in the last year, with all the stuff that's been going on. So tell us a little bit about that.
Right. I still truly do believe there is an inequality in the women's leadership here in the gaming industry. You still walk around and see a lot of the COOs, a lot of the CEOs, it's the majority of men, as well as the owners and some of the board members. It's just very unequally balanced. And I don't know if that is just for the lack of amount of women interested in this certain space, or if it's the now just we're coming out to roar and we're coming to say, look at us as equals and respect us as equals and give us a chance as well. But I feel, there are still some very, very strong, powerful women who have a seat at the table. And I look to be there one day as well. And I think those women are very brave. They're very commanding, they're very smart, they deserve where they have landed. But I wish that there were just, more breasts. I wish that we could see that, and I wish that we could foster a little bit more of a women-friendly vertical.
Yeah. So there has been some progress since back in the day, is what you're saying there.
Oh, absolutely.
There has been some evolution.
Absolutely.
Right.
But I feel that we have a lot more. And I wish that there would be more women, more younger women who may be interested in the potential of being a part of the casino industry.
Right.
And the
right.
entertainment industry.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. How did you get your first job in the business? And talk about that. And what was that like? And who was, the mentors and what did they tell you? Because a lot of the people that listen to the show, I spoke to someone today who's also a client. They said, it's amazing, this show. I get to hear it, but it's really the stuff that I haven't heard at any conference. It's these words of wisdom and tell us about your first job. Tell us how that went.
Well, my first job was actually given, not my first job, but my first job in gaming was given to me by a female mentor of mine who currently still is my female mentor and boss, which is pretty ironic and wonderful. I was actually, growing up, I wanted to be a journalist. That was, it just kind of seemed like an easy fit for me, where I love to write, I love to read, I love to communicate. I went to Annenberg School for Communications at USC to do just that, and kind of realized maybe I'm a little bit better in the event space or in the advertising space, and maybe I like strategy a little bit more. So started an internship more in the public relations sector here back in Vegas, and then I got hired full-time fresh out of college, excited to have a job and real responsibilities and a real paycheck. And I was enlisted to do the grand opening of Hooters Casino Hotel in the PR space. And while that wasn't directly in the casino, it kind of gave me a little bit of insight into, wow, this space is so much more than just a gaming table. It's more than food and beverage. It's more than entertainment. It just is constant excitement. So I was really attracted to that. And I had a common friend who was working in advertising at Station Casinos at the time. And he said, we have a coordinator job open. Send me your resume and I'm going to send it to you. Well, if luck would have it, he sent it directly to Stacy Colombo Alonso, who at the time was running the marketing organization at Stations. And I will never forget that she, as the chief marketing officer, called me as this lowly little 24-year-old who wanted to get into the casino business and interviewed me and made sure that I was sent along through the right path, and I interviewed, and lo and behold, I had my first job at Santa Fe Station as an advertising coordinator, and then quickly, very quickly, moved my way up through the operational side as well as the marketing and event side, and then I was a manager, and then I was a director, and just kept on getting placed at different properties and growing my personal enterprise and my personal brand within Stations. And then Stacy actually moved to IGT, and I was looking for a change in career and followed her. And we kind of separated ways when she moved on to different jobs, and so did I, and I kept growing, and we kept having a relationship. And she called me when she came back to Stations, and we just kind of our paths aligned, and I've been here as a boomerang, as I'd like to call it, ever since. And it's wonderful to have someone believe in you as much as Stacy believed in me. But I think that my path has crossed with other fantastic women as well, and I've tried to mentor other women and bring them along with me and kind of create a mini little female army to be able to grow them and inspire and support one another. So really trying to pay it forward.
That's amazing. Yeah, Stacy's an amazing person. What are some of the two or three most important lessons that you learned from these mentors, you know, that when you first got on board? What were some of the major things that you know, kept with you through your whole career?
Integrity, maintaining your personal reputation, always acting with complete integrity, with honesty, with openness, and acting for the best interests of the company, without putting your personal morals at risk. Being extremely tough, but also allowing to tap into the emotional side that, you know, women kind of tend to have that emotional intelligence. So being able to, you know, take punches and bounce back and be resilient, but also not to forget that you're a human and that people who are working with you and for you are also humans as well. And the third would be think differently. Challenge yourself. Say, is this really the best way we could do this? Are there different ways to think? Are there different ways to change up the game? And constantly be challenging yourself to be a little bit disruptive, a little bit different, while having the respect for the past and kind of things that have always been successful.
Right, and kind of trying to think out of the box, right?
Oh, absolutely. I would say that I am described often in a good term, as I take it, as disruptive. And I really like that because it means that we're evolving. It means that we're not remaining stagnant.
I went to about 15 years ago, I went to Shia Day gave these like conferences, and I went to one in New York, and Seth Godin at the time had written the book. I can't remember what it was called now, but anyways, it was a major book for internet marketers. And the first thing he said, he looked at everybody and he said, if you're not almost being fired every day, you're not doing your job. So he told everybody.
Yeah, very
and
true.
And everybody's like, oh, okay. And I was sitting on the side, I was standing on the side. He goes, look at you guys, you're all sitting in line and all straight, except for that guy over there. Look, he's leaning on the wall. I bet you that guy's a disruptor. So it was interesting. But yeah, absolutely. If they know when the boomerang is coming, right? They can feel it. So,
absolutely.
So that's good. I like that term, the boomerang. I like that. They call me the propeller, by the way, just so you know. So anyways,
nice.
So you get the first, yeah, it's good because I'm always in motion. Now, we talked a little bit about the change of women and, you know, since you started in the biz. What advice can you give women that are starting out and you know, how do they get into the business and where should they start? You know, where, because a lot of people who listen to the show are young people who are trying to, you know, break in. What advice can you give them about that?
I would say be willing to learn, because sometimes you'll challenge yourself in not understanding maybe that you were good at something but interested in something. For example, I started as an advertising person, as PR and advertising, thinking that's all I wanted to be. But as I continued to learn about the industry and have the opportunity to take on different jobs and roles, I really liked the strategy side of it. I really liked the financial aspect of it. I really liked the technology sector. So you kind of have to be a little bit more open to finding things every day that may be of interest to you. Be authentic. Be authentically you. Don't try to, if you're not a badass in a suit and who wants to just constantly, you know, grind day to day, that's okay. But tap into your North Star and understand exactly what it is that you want to do and what it is that you want to leave your imprint on and how you can contribute to the culture that you're in. And I would say be supportive of others. You never know. My mom, she said, Lauren, always be nice to people, because you never know, even if they're lower than you, even if they're younger than you, even if they're not you, they may be your boss one day. So always be
right. Nice,
always make alliances, always try to find the best in people.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no question about that.
Yep.
I'm going to do something that I usually don't do in the show, but I know there's some people
sure. Waiting
to ask some questions. And so it's six. But what we're going to do is we're going to take a few questions, and then I'm going to come back and do the interview. Keep doing the interview because we started late, and I know some people are on the East Coast and that are calling in. And then we're gonna come back to the interview and then maybe take a couple more questions at the end. Okay, so hang on.
Sounds
one
good.
Sec. Let's see who's on there. Hello, this is GT Radio. Is this Mr. Donovan?
It is. How are you doing?
How are you, Michael? Good, good.
I'm good.
Michael
I'm good.
Donovan from St. Louis, from Lumiere, from Top Entertainment. And by the way, guys, you're both going to be on my. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry.
Yeah. There's a little bit of a delay, That's just how the system works here. So just so you know. By the way, Michael and Lauren, for everybody who's listening, are going to be on a panel of mine at the Casino Marketing and Technology Conference, which is in July 18th to be exact. And it's going to be great. And wait a second, I see someone else here who should pop on. Is this Mr. Jenner?
It is. How you doing?
Oh, my God. I can't believe it. So much firepower. I can't handle it. So we got Lauren Westerfield, Michael Donovan, Chris Jenner, and me, of course. But these three people will be on our panel. Don't miss it at the Casino Marketing Technology Conference. They're very, very smart people and lots of experience and funny. Mike, let's start with you. You had a question for Lauren, right?
Yeah. You know, Lauren, thank you. It's an incredible story. You know, it's so interesting hearing your journey, you know, as somebody who grew up in Las Vegas and, you know, you didn't think like, oh, I want to go work at a casino. It's very interesting, you know, kind of hearing your journey and seeing how you've ended up where you're at today. So, you know, congratulations.
Thank you.
I was curious, you know, in being, you know, living in Las Vegas and being a local, I'm sure you've seen this over the years and, you know, casinos are notorious for, you know, not thinking differently and, you know, not challenging the status quo and just doing what the guy down the street's doing or maybe a little bit better version of that. You know, casinos for years we operated as we're going to do one monthly mailer, and that's how we communicate with our customers. You know, being in marketing today, you know, it's changed obviously so much to where you're getting, you know, 2-3 emails a day, you know, from multiple different places. You know, I guess, you know, we think about where we're at today and you know, where do you see it going next? You know, being an interactive person and you know, definitely in the space, you know, being in Vegas, which is a giant market, I'm sure you see kind of the next step in the marketing progression.
Absolutely, and thank you for teeing it up perfectly for me. As my answer is, it truly is going to be that one-to-one relationship. It no longer is a one-to-many relationship because people are craving authenticity. They're craving personalization, and we're also not just competing within the casino sector anymore. We're competing for every person's last entertainment dollar, whether that be an outdoor mall, whether that be a show, a movie, retail. So we as an industry need to do a better job in kind of taking the cues from the e-com giants of the world, the Amazons of the world, the people who are truly hyper-personalizing and making things super easy and super accessible for our guests. So I would say one-to-one omni-channel communication and offers, being able to present the right offer at the right time, at the right place, at that right moment, and making it completely seamless in the customer journey without being creepy to that consumer.
I'm sure as having a journalist background,
you're on too,
you have
right,
some good creative.
Yes, content is definitely key. Sorry.
Go ahead, Mike.
No, I was going to say, I know you had asked if I was on. This is Chris, and yes.
Since I got you both on, let's bounce back to Chris. He'll ask the questions, and we'll go back to him. Chris, you had a question for Lauren?
And actually, just to kind of dovetail off that, and ditto everything Mike just said, of course. Dovetailing into that conversation, how have you seen, have you experienced the transition from, you know, offline to digital, and how are you seeing that success and any key channels jumping out at you?
It is an interesting journey because going from such a traditional landscape, which is, you know, very casino, and having some legacy thought processes and trying to convince, educate, and inspire first your internal organization and then your external guests to really believe in the safety of it, the reliability of it and that truly it is kind of the way that you're going. The way that we've found success, my team and I, is to introduce things in a very snackable way so people feel more comfortable with it. So we started truly with the content side, with social, organic social, and then moved quickly into paid social. And now we have completely convinced a lot of the organization and our external guests that if you give us a challenge, we will come up with the perfect channel and the perfect delivery of that message, and we'll test it, and we'll test which medium does a little bit better and how we could tweak that. And just seeing our adoption rate and our whichever KPI for whichever channel you want to measure, we've seen the increase in it, and we've seen the decrease in whether it be unsubscribes or spamming or any of those negative KPIs. We're seeing this intersection of, oh, okay, our believability is going up and our content and our deliverability and just the ROI on some of our e-com stuff is really growing, and the trust continues to grow. Measurement, just like in any casino vertical, is key, and being able to prove and tell that story of success within your own organization has been key. We still have a long way to go, as I think that a lot of our industry does have a long way to go, but I feel that the groundwork has been laid and the trust is there, and just trying to open it up and move quickly.
Nice. Thank you.
Yeah, very cool. Mike, do you have another question for Lauren?
I think that was actually the one.
Okay, good. Chris, did you have something else that you wanted to ask her?
No, I am all solid. Thank you. That's great.
Great. Looking forward to speaking on a panel with you, gentlemen.
Yeah, you as well.
Yeah, and we'll definitely be talking before that. Mike, thanks a lot. I know it's, 9 o'clock there where you are?
Oh, it's still early. It's only 8.
Oh, it's 8. Okay, so it's not that late. Okay. And Chris, thanks for calling in. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
You guys have a good one.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay, great. All right, let's see who else we have here. Hello, this is GT Radio. Do you have a question for Lauren?
Hey, Tino, how are you?
Good. Is this Mr. Savino?
It certainly is.
It's Michael Savino from Resorts World in New York. We had him as a guest right before your show, Lauren. He's a pretty amazing guy. One of the only guys that I think I've interviewed that is not from the casino business. But he knows his territory.
Hi, Michael.
Hi, Lauren. How are you?
I'm doing well.
And he's tight and unspoken. What can I tell you? He's tight and unspoken. So,
Michael, for the record, it's after 9 o'clock where I am.
That's right.
Well, thank you for staying up.
Yeah, I haven't gone to bed for 2 days because of the snow. Listen, I could talk to you for an hour about local marketing, but because Tino set this whole up as what did you call it? The women of gaming.
Yeah, Wonder Women of Marketing.
The Wonder Women of Marketing.
Of gaming.
So Lauren, you know, the Me Too movement is very alive and well. We see it all over the news every single day. You know, showbiz, entertainment, casinos, certainly a hotbed over the years. I'm curious, you're a VP, so you've worked your way up. You know, without divulging any insider secrets, what do you see? What do you know? And where do you think, quite frankly, the gaming industry is going to go with this issue?
Well, let's just clarify. I've worked my way up, honestly. So the Me Too movement has not struck me, which I'm very, very blessed and lucky to not have had to cross any of those uncomfortable incidents. But I think that it is wonderful that people are starting to feel passionately about telling their stories. In any movement that is a little bit hotbed, I would say that sometimes there are those stories or those people that may ride on the coattails of this. So you always kind of want to be a little bit, not skeptical, but just careful of, you feel for the people who truly are victimized by this, and you want them to be able to tell them their stories. You don't want for it to become the tipping point of something bad where everybody feels that they can jump along on the bandwagon. But I've definitely seen it in the industry, in greater industries. I feel like it is not just isolated to women. I feel like there are probably men, homosexuals, racism, any sort of thing that could be itemized into Me Too has probably happened in this industry as well as every industry. And I really do hope that, you know, people get justice where justice is deserved. And I hope that we can, as an industry and as a culture, step up, move on, recognize what we can do better, recognize how we can regulate those who may be taking advantage of power or their situation, and be able to act with grace, to be acting with compassion, and to just act as adults and professionals that we have all grown to be.
Yeah, well said. Very well said. Thank you. I'll be out at the conference. I look forward to hearing you with Tino. Thank you very much for your time.
Great. Thank you so much.
Michael,
have a great
Michael,
night.
Did you have any other questions for
Lauren? I don't want to hug, but that was just because of the timing, and obviously, you know, we know what's going on.
Sure,
unfortunately,
absolutely.
You know, and Lauren's hit on it. I know this for a fact, that it's not just limited to the gaming industry, because, well, I haven't seen it since I've been in the gaming industry. I've certainly seen it in the nonprofit world, whether it be colleges or school districts or museums. So I think Lauren hit it. People need to be treated with respect, no matter, you know, what their social standing is, what their perspectives are. I think we could all be better off with each other if we just be decent to each other, right?
Yeah,
exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, Tino. We'll talk to you soon. Lauren, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mike. Have a wonderful evening.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Michael. So he's great. I mean, he was great on the show. And it, like I said, he didn't come from the casino business, but he has some good stories. Let's continue the interview a little bit. And then we got some other people waiting. They're West Coast, so they'll be happy to listen to the show. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, how gaming has changed in the past 10 years, you know, where we were then and where are we now? What are the major, what has been that evolution?
Well, I said this a little bit ago, that I truly believe that we need to have a respect for the past, for the legacy of what this industry was built upon, which was guest relationships, one-on-one relationships, and a place for people to have fun and to have camaraderie and be able to experience things outside of their regular norm. But I also believe that we need to have a respect and the urgency to change, to be nimble, to be a little bit more disruptive, because if we do not force ourselves into a different way of thinking or propel ourselves forward, we too could become dinosaurs very easily. And that speaks to the regulators that, you know, the regulating body that we are under as well. I think we, as responsible members and leaders of the industry, we need to continue to challenge ourselves of, we understand why we do this, but is there a better way of doing things? Is it faster? Is it easier? Is it better? And can it reap us greater benefits? I do believe that, you know, with the Strip, and I'm not a part of that right now, they have evolved completely to entertainment, where gaming revenues used to drive everything. Now that's kind of, you're seeing that flip-flop, which is a really interesting trend. But for locals market, we're not quite seeing that trend. So how do you inspire guests? How do you make their lives easier? And how can you educate them through the use of technology, I think, is where we need to go. Let's become accessible. Let's become like some of our thought leaders, as I continue to say, in Amazon or, you know, a Tesla. How can we apply some of those different thought processes to our world and really start to make progress?
Yeah, the major thing has been the technology, right? That's pretty well changed everything.
Absolutely. It has. And I think people are smarter. And maybe they always were. Our guests are extremely smart, but they want an authentic experience. They don't want to be fed a load of crap. So no longer are the days of huge outdoor boards with exclamation points and went up to $10,000 going to be acceptable. They really want a value exchange. So we continue to evolve our products. Let's continue to evolve our message and how we hook people and how we treat them. I mean, it is really a guest experience, and that is our wholesale. That's our goods.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's take another question here. Hang on a sec. Hello, this is GQ Radio. Do you have a question for Lauren? Hello? Can you hear us?
Scare them off?
GQ Radio. No, I think they're there. Hello? Hold on one sec.
Hello?
Oh, that was something there.
Hello?
Hello? Oh, there you are.
Hello?
Hi, how are you?
Hi, sorry. Hi, good.
That's okay.
So this is sort of following up, I guess, on what you were just speaking about, but I'm 29 years old, and I'm just curious of what specifically sort of you're doing in terms of targeting millennials with coming to your casinos, what your sort of strategies are with getting people like me and my group of friends into the casinos.
So I am a millennial myself, but on the older spectrum of being a millennial. So I think that I can be a qualified subject to speak to what we want, but I think it's very, very important that we kind of balance that we understand our core demographic necessarily isn't millennials now, but it may be in the future. So how we kind of hyper... how we ensure that every single demographic blends within our building and has an equally great experience that may not necessarily be along the same customer path. So for millennials, you know, we are constantly trying to reevaluate our product, and more so the product of eating, dining, drinking, entertainment, some of those ancillary areas and the amenities that maybe appeal to our younger demographic much, much more than just coming in and having a gaming transaction. But we also have realized and indicated that education, especially like, let's say, table games, is a necessary thing with the younger generation because that barrier to entry is a little too intimidating. So how do we make it easy without being kind of intimidating to that group? But programming is a lot of kind of the battle of what you're fighting, like I said, for entertainment dollars. So what will bring you the most impact but also kind of give you that quote-unquote social cred, that street cred within the buzzworthy groups? But we are continually evaluating how we have that happy blend. I'll give you an example. We started a movement about 3 years ago and started with 50 people. It was a yoga outdoor event with headphones. It was like a silent yoga, not silent disco, but similar. And cool. We grew that to over 2 properties. We had over 600 people monthly at our pools just experiencing this free yoga class. And
very
the
cool.
realization was, yes, these guests are not all going to come and put $20 in a machine, but they are experiencing our brand, and we are putting out a statement that we are interested in health and wellness, and we're interested in having this group as a community. So understanding what the millennials really are attracted to, which is authentic moments, Instagrammable moments, mm-hmm. collaboration, but also having, you know, giving things for a cause, for a meaning, and blending that into your marketing plan, I think is extremely important.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. So you're actually doing events that are completely non-gaming related, but would attract that core group and advancing the brand, is what you're saying.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's great. Did you have any other questions for Lauren?
I guess this is a sort of a little bit, you know, not on the same, but just with everything that's going on, I don't know if you have any thoughts about anything related to sort of sexual harassment in the gaming industry, and I guess as a top, you know, female executive, sort of, I don't know if you have any thoughts on that. I work in the entertainment and sort of fashion industry, so there's a lot going on within our industry, and I don't know if you have any sort of thoughts on that or...
As I kind of addressed with Michael a few moments back, it comes down to, yes, there are truly people who are victimized by this, and I hope that they get their moments, and I hope that they get what they feel is justice. But I also believe that we all have a unique responsibility, no matter which level you're at, no matter if you're an hourly team member or, you know, up on the C-suite. You have a responsibility to act with integrity and professionalism, not only while you're in the workplace, but when you're outside of the workplace, because your reputation and your company's reputation pretty much are one. Act with integrity, and if something is done to you that you don't believe is just or right, say something and rally around those who may be struggling and give them support. But always act with grace, integrity, and honesty. And hopefully that larger group of us who do that will ostracize the people who are not.
Yep.
Yeah.
Great.
Thank you so much for calling in. Really appreciate it. And you have
yes,
a great
thank
evening.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, some good questions. All right, let's... Hello, this is GT Radio. Do you have a question for Lauren?
Hello?
Yes, this is GT Radio. Do you have a question for Lauren?
Hey, can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah, we can. Loud and clear.
Yep.
All right. Hey, Lauren, you sound great. Listen, I'm sure you have an extremely busy schedule. So here's the question. How do you balance your work time, you know, with your personal life in a 24-hour business?
I learned the hard way. I definitely did not do that in my young career. I worked so much. I immersed my whole entire life into my career, and I don't really regret that because I did work hard and have great experiences and ended up where I am, but... Now I've slowed down a lot and realized the importance of family, friends, husband, dog, and having those moments of being able to just shut down and not have to think or be the boss. That makes me so much more valuable when I am in that time. So I've definitely learned how to work smarter, not harder, and surround myself with people who will support and do the work, as well as who are smarter than I am and make me look great in trade for helping them grow. And yoga has been wonderful for me. And having a glass of wine after work, that helps me too.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
What, great.
What about a glass of wine after yoga?
That's fine too. That's why you work hard. You sweat it out, and it's double relaxation.
Yeah, exactly.
And the lush bath bombs in a bath are the best. Yes.
Right. Hey, can I ask one more question?
Sure, absolutely.
Sure.
Go ahead.
All right. Well, just all the development and everything that's constantly going on in Las Vegas, but on the big scale projects like Venetians planning a new stadium.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what kind of impact do you think that's going to have, you know, once projects like that are in place?
And Resorts World and all the other stuff that's going on.
I think it is all great for the city. I hope hope that we are all, as an industry, thinking of, are we going to be able to support this, not just from an infrastructure standpoint, from a services standpoint. And I hope that as a city of Las Vegas and all of the larger contributors will demand that we staff appropriately, that we can service this growth and sustain the growth instead of growing too quickly, failing, and being stuck with a situation that we kind of have to clean up. So
mm-hmm.
I think it's all great and wonderful, but we also have to deliver on our promise.
Great. Thank you so much
for your
question. You have a nice night. Okay, great questions. Hello, this is GT Radio. Do you have a question for Lauren? Hello? GT Radio, do you have a question for Lauren? Hello, hello? Okay, let's try another one here. See? Hello, this is GT Radio, do you have a question for Lauren? Hello? Hello? Huh, interesting. Okay. See here? Look at here. Weird that it doesn't respond. Let's try one more time. Hello, this is GT Radio. You have a question for Lauren? Okay. All right, let's talk a little bit and we'll come back to that. I have three or four other people waiting. Tell me a little, you touched on this a little bit, about integrity and all that stuff and your mentorship. Tell us a little bit, because everybody has their own management style. You know, is their own way of motivating people and getting them to do things. What is Lauren's management style? What have you adopted that is really works for you?
Well, I always build a team, like I had just indicated, that is smarter than I am because who are subject matter experts in their whole entire in what they do. So I don't care if you don't know the casino industry, but if you know if it's social media and you are really great at social media and content, I can always teach you the gaming industry. But I want the best in class and I want to develop that. But then I also want to develop individuals into, as I'll call them, Swiss Army knives of the digital industry or of the casino industry. And I want to make them cross-functional so they understand every aspect of the marketing strategy role that we're playing or the casino strategy role that we're playing. I have a very young team, and they are all learning their way through what a corporate job looks like. And I have an open-door policy, obviously, but more of a mentorship role of, tell me what's going on inside and outside of life and let me help you kind of maneuver through what the 20s looks like for you. I want to challenge them. I want to inspire them. I am very tough to work for because I demand a lot, but I am probably one of the best bosses that they will ever have because I am lenient in some regards. But I expect the world, and if you give me the world, I will give you the world back. But I try to teach them the importance of work-life balance, as I had indicated before, because I learned a little bit late in life, and I don't regret that, but I want everybody to develop a passion outside of their job, because they're not just their job. They are somebody else and something else, and there could be something that inspires them that they can bring back to work and help educate the others and be able to help leave an imprint on what they do. So
yeah, whatever they give to you, you give back. That's a major thing. So if they're really stepping up and working hard, you're also going to be invested in what they're doing, right?
And a lot of the times it doesn't stop. The relationship doesn't stop if our roles stop, right? I still talk to people who worked for me from 10 years ago, and we are still friends, and I am still a mentor to them, and they are growing in their careers, and it's really wonderful to see. It truly is a relationship, and like I said before, you build an army. You build an army of supporters and people that you support, and you can do a lot.
Okay, great, great answer. So there's a 10-second delay when we put someone on for questions. So I just popped someone on, and if you can hear us, just respond, because there's a 10-second delay, and Lauren and I will keep talking. So what? Hello, is anybody there? Can you hear us? All right. Anybody want to ask a question from this number? Okay, maybe they're just listening. Hello. All right. What can we expect in the future? Where are we headed in gaming? What does it look like to you? What does the landscape look like?
Well, as I did state before, I think we are in a hyper-competitive situation because we are vying for the last entertainment dollar that everybody has. And entertainment is no longer just in our buildings. It's everywhere. It's outside. It is indoor malls. It's free concerts. It's paid for concerts. It's sporting events. So we need to be really smart in what we plan as a whole, and what product we are delivering and what programming we're delivering, as well as how do we talk to people one-to-one? How do we value what they want, when they want, at the appropriate level of offer? So I truly think that one-to-one communication and that authentic communication and delivering upon an offer through our guest service will help differentiate it. And being available and easy to utilize, to learn, and to be accessible, those are all very important keys that will play into our future as gaming houses or entertainment houses. So we have a long way to go as an industry, and I think that we have some great things happening for us as an industry, but I feel like we have a long way to go, and we should definitely look at the best in class, not only in our environment, but also in businesses. So look at that North Star, and how can we become that and better?
Yeah, there's a lot going on. I've even heard people say some people think that maybe in the future, gaming won't be part of it. It'll just be entertainment. What do you think about that?
I think that gaming is prevalent regardless if it's regulated or if it's not. We see esports or we see competition. We're humans, right? There's always a competitive side, and gaming, betting, wagering is a part of that kind of competition of, no, I bet I can do this better. I bet you can. We will never get rid of the words I bet. So it's how do we tap into that, and how do we actually integrate the human psychology and compliance and regulation and that human nature and that human need to bet and to win? How do we escalate that experience? But gaming, I truly believe, will always be a part of what we do as humans. So how are we going to capitalize on just the the human nature of it all.
Yeah, what you're saying is right on. It's got to be, even if it's esports and it's not, you know, gaming for
right.
for whatever it is, it's still going to be like some sort of a competition, because that's what we do. We compete and we feel a certain thing going on in our head when we do that, right?
Right.
Whether it be a machine or against someone else or against friends or whatever, that's going to be the key. All right, let's see. I think someone's here who knows you want to ask a question. Hello, GT Radio. Can you hear us?
Hi, Laura.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hi, it's Golly.
Hi, Golly.
How are you?
I'm good. What do you have for me tonight, Golly?
So we let him.
I thought we were supposed to do happy hour right now. That's my question.
Well, we're all happy. We're all happy, and we've almost come up to an hour, so I guess that constitutes happy hour.
I know we've kind of dissected this Me Too movement a couple of times already, but we've talked about this a little bit, and I know that you know obviously you haven't faced it yourself, but in a way, sort of you have in a way in terms of the perception of some people may have thought that you've done it because you know the way you look. People may have thought that you've advanced in your career that way. Can you talk about how frustrating that might be, you know, because you've advanced based on your merit, but other people may think that you've advanced because, you know, of the other stuff, and how you have to always
right.
have to prove yourself that you haven't done it. You've done it the right way.
Right. It is both a blessing and a curse. I think being young, female, and having kind of a put-together look has always been distracting for maybe some of the more traditional casino folk, but I've always just kind of tackled it with the mentality of, I know my worth, I know that I am smart, I know that I can deliver on what I am promising in the workspace. So if they want to have this perception of me, that's fine, but I will ultimately show them, whether it be immediately just in a conversation or over the course of projects or even the course of a 10-year somewhere. I just have always had the mindset of, I know that I can do this. I know that I am extremely sharp, and we'll just let the rest speak for itself. And I think that authenticity, like I've said before, rules, and deliver on what you promise. And I think that that is the most attractive thing that any young attractive woman can do, is just deliver on the promise, be smart, have integrity, and the rest will follow. And if not, they're not your allies. So, you know what? You don't need them in your circle.
Yeah, well said. Golly, did you have anything else that you wanted to ask, Lynn?
What do you think are the biggest challenges that gaming is going to be facing in the next couple of years? You know, with you don't have to necessarily speak to your property, but, you know, Vegas is going to be expanding, you know, whether it's, you know, you have, you know, the Palms, you got the northern part of the Strip now that's coming. Is there enough to go around with enough traffic to come to Vegas?
I would say that figuring out a way to continually reinvent yourself as a property or as an industry while doing so profitably is going to be our biggest challenge. We continue to deliver and over-deliver these experiential moments, but in a hyper-accelerated time, you constantly have to evolve. So how do you have the foresight as an industry to understand you have to escalate your game, but how do you do so profitably is going to be something that we will probably have to really struggle with, especially when you are introducing a couple of huge sporting teams into our world and maybe other companies that may not be gaming. How are we going to continue to remain relevant, but also not bank on the income we used to make with traditional gaming? And how do we remain profitable in that environment?
Yeah, there's going to be some challenges. There's no question. Thanks, Golly. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Golly.
Thanks, Lauren. See you soon.
Yeah, and just talking to what a sports team that just started. My God, I mean, they've broken every expansion record of any team in history. It's been remarkable.
Absolutely. It's great. You said the Knights, correct?
They kind of came out of nowhere and just took over. And, you know, being a hockey fan and having watched hockey probably, you know, 55 years or 53 years of my life growing up in Canada, we've never, ever seen anything like this before. It's an anomaly.
I can't tell you how, you know, being a native, just how our city has completely embraced them and given them probably one of the most competitive home advantages that any of the hockey teams have, because we are so passionate. Like, it's really cool to see how we've put on the accelerator just to welcome them with a big warm hug. And I can't imagine that we wouldn't do the same for the Raiders or for our soccer team or our minor league baseball. It's wonderful.
Yeah, a lot of the hockey players are saying that it's impossible to play just because of the noise. But more than that, what they're saying is they're coming to Vegas and partying.
Yeah, I bet.
So the local guys have an advantage because they're here all the time, right? They're in Vegas all the time, so.
Whatever it takes to win, I guess.
Yeah, someone told me about that. I guess it's possible. Because, dude, they're coming to Vegas. I mean, come on, man. You know, when have they ever gone to Vegas? They usually go to a city, you know, blah, 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 check in. It's all boring, right? But they're coming to Vegas.
Right.
It's like they're going crazy. The other team has the advantage, right?
Totally.
It's amazing. You got to love it. Such a unique city. Lauren, it's been wonderful. Thank you so much for kicking off our series. I wish you continued great success. And I want to have you back on the show with I'm starting to do these combo shows with a couple of people on the show that have been on before. So I'm probably
it would be my honor
somebody
to you.
In the future. Thank you so much for being on the show.
That's great. And thank you for allowing me to kick this off. I mean, being a part of this and being representative of this major caliber Women Who Slay lineup that you put together is really a compliment. So thank you so much. And thank you to all the listeners out there for their questions.
Have
a good night.
Have a good evening. Okay.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Okay. So that was really great. It was a good time. And Lauren is very knowledgeable in the field, and what a way to kick off our series. So we have a whole lineup of women coming up, some really great people. And we'll be sending out the emails to have a look and join us. And remember, everybody's got a story to tell. You just have to have time to listen. This is Tino Magnetta signing off. God bless and have a good night.